let you know that I am not comfortable up here. But with God's grace, he'll help me through this. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer, our giver of hope. Amen. I have my Kleenexes up here because I get kind of emotional. As you may know or not, I have been seeing a therapist for several months for severe depression. Most of the depression is due to my illness. During the weeks of November 2nd, just a few weeks ago, I was so low and filled with hopelessness. The ensemble was rehearsing a song called Bring Us Hope, and I couldn't get through the song. Some of the words are, bring us hope, bring us love, bring us peace, hope to replace our hopelessness, love to fill our emptiness. I had to stop singing it and realize that in the middle of the song that I had lost hope. I had actually was filled with hopelessness. I came home from choir and went out in the garage. I came home, changed clothes, went out in the back out in the garage to get an ice cream cone out of the freezer. And I saw the car, and I just stopped, and I stared at the car for a while. And I thought to myself, how easy would it be to get in the car, start the engine, leave the doors down, and just end it all? And I stared at that car for several minutes, and it overwhelmed me. Fortunately, my keys were in the house, so I didn't, and the car was locked, so I didn't follow through with it, but it scared the bejeebies out of me. You're probably wondering how all of this is about hope. I'm not going to preach today about the God says in the Bible about what hope is. Rather, I'm going to give you a testimony of my journey, wrestling with my faith and my hope and overcoming it. I'm not telling my story as a, oh, pity me and have you feel sorry for me. That's not what I intend to do at all. We all have our ailments and our problems, and we all have our down days where we feel that we just can't go on and cope anymore. What I want to convey today is that no matter how low you feel or how bad you feel things are, there is still hope. There's always hope. I guess I've been sick longer than I thought. 2015, we went with our friends to Disney World in Florida. And while we were there, I went for my 60th birthday. And while we were there, my legs swelled up about three times their size. My legs broke out, and I had trouble walking a couple days that we were there. I couldn't even do anything. I just had to lay in the room. And the same thing happened when we went to visit my son in Washington, D.C., and a couple of the Caribbean cruises that we took. My legs swelled. We just assumed that it was due to that I can't take places with humidity and heat, and but they kept swelling, and so when we got back, one of the times I went to my doctor and my kidney doctor, and found out that my kidneys had diminished to a level 3, and I was retaining fluid, so he put me on water pills. Going through a little chronology here, so you can understand where I'm coming from. At Christmas in 2019, I put in my retirement notice to Burns to retire as choir director in March of 2020 to give the church time to find another choir director. Unfortunately, COVID struck and the church went into lockdown, and we had to go figure out how to go virtual. So I stayed on a little bit longer to help with the music during that time, and researched and got the music on the videos. January 2020, I took a fall at mom's house as some uneven concrete there and ended up in the hospital for over 3 weeks with a huge hematoma. It went from my inner thigh all the way from my groin all the way down to my ankles. And I couldn't move my leg at all. I couldn't get up, I couldn't sit down. Ended up in the hospital. The nurse had to move my leg for me. It wouldn't move. And so, and also during that hospital stay, we were right in the middle of COVID procedures, so I couldn't have any visitors I could only have one visitor at a time, masked, of course, and that was Mary, who was there most of the time. And mom came a couple times, and we did a lot of visiting via FaceTime on the phone. But nights got very lonely, and I developed a lot of anxiety at night, so much that I needed to be medicated to sleep. Every time the doctors thought they had a fix for me, something else would go wrong in my body. My liver, my kidneys, my heart would all have problems, and we'd have to work on that, and they would be back at square one. My leg still wasn't working. I was not sure if I was coming out of the hospital alive or not. I got real scared. I said prayers every night. I prayed with Peter over the phone, and of course, and prayed with the hospital clergy. I prayed for God to take away from me, take this all away from me and make me better. Sometimes I just prayed that he would go ahead and take me home. I was just tired of it all. I was not hearing any answers. Finally, I took a turn for the worse and became real ashen. The doctors were going to do one last-ditch effort to help me, and that was to give me a blood transfusion. The next day, I felt like a new person and was released shortly afterwards, and I finally felt God had answered my prayers. Memorial Day came, and I fell again and hit my head this time and ended up with a bruise that went down my whole face, down to the bottom of my neck. I sent a picture to the church, and I think Peter showed it up on the screen. So that was another setback. Summer of last year, 2021, I had two more heart attacks that put me in the hospital again. One of the stays in the hospital, they had to shock my heart into beating regularly again by going down my throat. I was beginning to wonder where God is and why he is punishing me so much. Excuse me, my mouth gets real dry. Why has God abandoned me? After all, I've been faithful in the church, served on all the committees at one time or another, choir director for 20 years, and sang in the choir for 20 years prior to that. This wasn't fair. Late November came, and I was really holding fluid, and I had gained way too many pounds. My kidney doctor ran some more tests and determined that I was now at stage 5, end-stage kidney failure, and put me in the hospital to have a catheter implanted in my neck, and I went to emergency hemodialysis. I started out in the hospital going to dialysis center 4 times a week and 4 hours at a time. My life changed upside down. From December to March 15th of this year, I went into dialysis center 4 times a week, 4 hours a day to get my blood cleaned. Also in December, 2 days after Christmas, I was encouraged to move from hemodialysis to PD, peritoneal dialysis, which I can do at home. So I went through surgery again, went into the hospital, and had a PD catheter inserted in my lower abdomen, and at the same time had a hernia repaired. I ended up with major complications with the hernia operation. I ended up going back into the hospital a week or two later to have my stomach drained through my nose for 4 days. What more could go wrong? I finally got out of the hospital, and Mary and I endured 8 weeks of training, 4 days a week for 5 hours a day, learning how to do dialysis at home, while at the same time still going through hemodialysis at the other clinic. As I mentioned already, I have a catheter coming out of my abdomen, and I hook up to a home dialysis machine for 9 hours a night, every night. They say I can travel, but we haven't figured out the logistic of it yet, since all my supplies must travel with me, including a 35-pound machine, two 15-pound bags of a dialysis solution for each night of dialysis, as well as all of my cleaning solutions, tapes, hoses, etc. We used to travel, Mary and I used to travel when we wanted, where we wanted, and now it takes several months in planning. I have days when I feel good and many days where I don't. There are many days when I would break down crying for any reason or no reason at all. A wave would just come over me and I would just go into total despair. News started taking tolls on me. School shootings made me go into days of crying and depression. Politics got to me. I couldn't stand the hate and lies being flung by both sides. I started seeing a wonderful mental health therapist who has helped me immensely. I would say that in the last year, I was either at the hospital, emergency center, or the urgent care about 80% of the time. That was my life last year. I had gotten used to watching church service online, that when we finally got back together, I didn't feel comfortable. We were all wearing masks, sitting miles apart, no organ, no choir. I wasn't leading the choir anymore. Church changed for me. I didn't feel a part of the church any longer. It was easier to blow it off. Besides, I'd lost most of my faith in God. Although looking back, I must have had a little bit of faith because I kept praying to him. And since I, and then in the meantime, just recently, I discovered that I've lost considerable hearing in both ears and have lost my solo singing voice due to COVID in June. My voice was God's gift to me, and he took it away. I somehow kept praying to God for answers. I said, "That's my answer? I was hearing nothing." My greatest desire was to get on a transplant list. I still pray for that. I went through all of the tests and have yet to hear anything. I kept praying to heal me, that he would answer my prayers. I even told him a couple of times to just go ahead and take me during the night. I couldn't go through this anymore. I got real mad at God. You're probably wondering where the hope comes in. We're coming to that. The week after I contemplated taking my own life, I opened up to my therapist. Naturally, he was very concerned. I also decided to open up to the ensemble and Mom and Stephen as how serious things had gotten for me. Mary knew all along, and fortunately, she had been my rock. Immediately, I felt like a great weight was lifted from my shoulders. I discovered I couldn't hold this inside any longer, and I couldn't handle this by myself. I had to tell people, regardless of who would understand or not. I needed more community support, more church support. I had isolated myself too much. They did understand, and I felt wonderful support. I came home and was praying. I never stopped praying, but all of a sudden it was like God whacked me upside the head with a 2x4. Sometimes God has to do that. He told me to wake up. He said, "I've been answering you all along. You've been so busy praying for healing and feeling sorry for yourself and praying for answers that you haven't been listening for my response. I have this Bible app on my phone That's the entire Bible. And each day it sends me a verse of the day along with a little 2-minute sermon from a theologian or a lay leader from all around the world. And they'll give a little 2-minute sermon on that verse. And I started looking back at the verses that I read every night. I read every night and read it sometimes while I was in the hospital, but didn't pay all that close attention. But this night I looked back at all of the verses that it was sending me and listened to the sermons, and I noticed that they were all speaking to me. The verses may not have gotten to me so much, but when the speaker spoke, they were speaking directly to me and at me. So now I listen to it regularly and meditate on it before bed. Anyway, after the slap in the head, I looked at the verses, and these were some of the verses that they sent to me. Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Psalm 147, 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 27, 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 1:1-5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I had become very afraid at night. I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't like the dark. And this came through right at that time. When I was praying to get through the night. And my favorite one was from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Do you know that there's over 30 verses in the Bible that deal with hope alone? It was amazing. I've read them all. I had a strange warmth come over me, one of comfort and knowledge that everything was going to be all right. God has this. God is in control. I also got a strange urge to share my story in this sermon and asked if I could speak today, the day we light the candle of hope. God was speaking to me. He had been talking to me all along. God sent me a great wife, a great family, a therapist that helped me see the light and encouraged me to rejoin the church and get back in the choir. And I have a great community here at church. I love my church. I am no longer afraid of the night. God is the light in the darkness, and his light will always shine through the darkness. I know now that God has a plan for me, one that is better than I could ever dream of. I don't know what that plan is yet, but I'm not worried. I know I will have my up and down days, but I have come to realize that I know within my heart that God never left me. I left him. I know that my faith will be strong at times and weak at others. I'm human after all. I learned from a very dear friend of mine. When asked how she dealt with her infant infliction and how she keeps positive and keeps a strong faith, she told me that she prays that her faith will be stronger than her fear. And I've incorporated that into my prayers every night. Now I see the song Bring Us Hope as a prayer of comfort and hope, and I have no problem singing it at all. You'll hear the ensemble singing it in a couple of weeks, and I'll be right there with them. This week I got a call from my transplant team that all my tests went well, except they would like me to retake the stress test, and they are even putting me with a physical therapist to help me prepare for it. So God has answered my prayers. I still have hope for a transplant. God works in wonderful ways. So as we light the first candle of Advent today, the candle of hope, let us be reminded that during the Advent season, the season of Christmas, we rest in the hope that God is sending us a little baby, that baby grew up and he died on the cross for us to give us all hope for the broken world and hope for our lives, that we will fulfill the Father's plan, and we can rest that his plan is far greater than we can ever imagine. Know this, no matter how sick you are or how low you feel, God has a plan for all of us. It's a plan far greater than we could ever imagine. Just keep our eyes on the prize and rest in the hope, and no matter that what goes on in our lives, that we can hope that he will always be with us and for us. I know this for a fact. I want to thank you for listening to my story. I found this prayer in Romans 15, verse 13. So let us pray. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.